You know, some groups you join willingly. For instance, Susan and I willingly got up this morning and put on these sweaters to support and love on our kids. Now, you know, you can say that's a sacrifice or not, but, you know, you choose. You choose to identify. You choose to be a part of a particular group. Sometimes it's just a matter of circumstance. On Friday night, I had a wonderful circumstance in that my dear wife and dear friends in this church and in from other settings threw a birthday party. And if you were a part of that, I just want to say thank you, and thank you to Susan. That was such an amazing experience, and it really provided me with a whole lot of joy. And it was just so much fun, and I enjoyed the circumstance. I had absolutely nothing to do with the timing of my birth, but, you know, I enjoyed being a part of that particular group, that setting, because of that circumstance and because of the things that others had planned that I really had nothing to do with but was so thankful for. And sometimes you're a part of a group that you would rather not be a part of. And Susan and I are also a part of a group that some of you may have that in common with us. It's a club that none of us would have chosen. And in fact, some of you probably have never even talked with anyone, maybe other than your spouse, about it. And that club is made up of people who have tried, but for one reason or another, could not have biological children. Most of you know that our son Chris is adopted. And the truth of the matter is most of the time, I don't think about that at all. I mean, it is simply, he's my son, and that's it. That's the only thing there is about it. But on occasion, and he's now 29 years old, so this is a long time in our past, but there are still times on occasion where I think about the struggle and the pain of those years that we spent trying and then even trying to adopt. And we know that firsthand the pain of Mother's Day and Father's Day, of people asking the question, not intending to be hurtful, but it is, when they ask the question, so when are you going to start having children? Or when you gather at Christmas. And you see all the other children in the family opening presents and all of the families being together, and you wonder, I wonder what presents our child would like. I wonder what it would be like to be a part of that. And for some reason, I think holidays in this particular club that we're a part of, I think for those of us who are unwillingly in that club, the holidays are some of the hardest and times and the times when you struggle the most. You hear whispers and you see the looks of people who somehow seem to be judging you for something you have absolutely no influence over, and you wonder. And you come to Christmas, and out of all of the holidays, it sometimes is the most painful, the one that is full of the most sorrow. And I've wondered at times, how can that be? And then I think about Joseph. I think about Joseph. And I want us to look at the story of Joseph. We're going to read from Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25, and think about his story. And it begins and it says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now let's pause right there for just a minute and put ourselves into this position, because I think all too often we read right through that. We get on to the next place. We get on to the next step. And for those who are in this club, that's the feeling we sometimes get. People just want to move beyond it. And there's other circumstances, other clubs that people are a part of that cause great pain in particular times of the year, and especially, I think, at Christmas. And let's think about the setting for Joseph. Maybe it'll help a little if we understand the setting a bit. Now, in Jewish life, there were actually three different stages to a wedding. You didn't just go out and get married. It's a little bit like in Germany. In Germany, we have two stages, or you can have two stages. There's what's called the standesamtliche Hochzeit. That is, there's the of civil service, the official service, and you're officially married after that service, because even if you want to have a church wedding, and some people do and some people don't, but even if you do want to have a church service, that church service has no official civil impact. It is not the one that has a legal standing. And so you have to get married. Even if you want to have a church service, you have to get married twice. It's just the way things are. And some people actually wait up to a year and have the church service a year after they have the standesamtlich. Now, in the day and time in which Joseph and Mary lived, there were three. It was a little bit different situation because the parents would actually take the first step. And that first step was usually the parents of the man. And the man was typically a little bit older, somewhere between in early 20s all the way up to sometimes 30. But the guy was usually a little bit older, and his parents would begin looking for a suitable bride. And when they, sometimes with consultation, sometimes without, but whenever they found a suitable bride who was typically somewhere between 14 and 16 years old, and when they found a good, appropriate bride, they would then go to the parents of the bride, of this girl, and they would say, "We'd like for our son to marry your daughter, for our two families to come together." And they would haggle over the price, what that would cost, what that looked like, and whether or not that was possible. And so by the time the parents had finished, and like I say, sometimes the children were involved, other times they were not. But when they finished, the children had already taken the first step towards marriage. When they came to an agreement as the parents, then the whole families, both families, took the second step, and the second step was a formalized contract of marriage. And after that formalized contract was made, they were, for all intents and purposes, married. They would say they were engaged. They were, in German, verlobt, but they were engaged to be married. But they would call themselves oftentimes my husband, my wife, but they would live apart. They would not have any kind of intimate relationships. There was a year time when they lived like that, but in order to break the contract, they actually had to get a divorce. And this is the point in which Mary and Joseph find themselves. That's the setting. They're in that second phase. Now, the third phase is after approximately a year, there's actually a wedding ceremony. And then after the wedding ceremony, that's when they then come and live together and have intimate relationships with one another. But Mary and Joseph are in this second stage. So they're living apart. Joseph knows very well that they have not had any kind of intimate relationship with one another. And he finds out that Mary is pregnant. What kind of reason could there be? What could be the possibilities? If we were to take a survey today and you didn't know the story, if you didn't know the scripture, if you hadn't heard the prophecy, if you didn't know any of those things, what would immediately be your thought? She's been adulterous. in her relationship to Joseph. That is the only explanation. Can you imagine how Joseph felt in that moment when he discovers that Mary is pregnant? When she comes back, she's been with Elizabeth, and so it says when she comes back, she's approximately 3 to 4 months pregnant, and he is devastated. He is convinced that she's committed adultery, that she's betrayed him, and there's these feelings that go through his mind and his heart. There's betrayal. She's betrayed him. There's pain. What kind of pain he must have experienced in knowing. And he knew there was no other choice. He knew she had betrayed him. What kind of pain and sorrow that must have caused him. What kind of disappointment. They were less than a year from completing the journey to being man and wife and taking that last step. What kind of disappointment. What would you do? Joseph belonged to a club that he did not want to belong to. He was a part of a group he felt and he thought that he was, that was a group he would have never sought out and couldn't imagine. He thought he knew Mary. He thought it impossible, and yet here they were. I wonder how many of you, Joseph might be the character that you identify with most as you draw near to the manger. Maybe not because you've had this kind of situation where someone has betrayed you, where a spouse has betrayed you, but you know pain. And you know pain in particular at this time of the year when the holidays come and for whatever reason, for whatever club you're a part of, whatever group that you're a part of that you would have never chosen, you face incredible times of disappointment. And this time of year, for whatever reason, it seems to come back. And you face that pain and that sorrow and that disappointment and perhaps even betrayal. And you know that your life has been marked by this pain. And at times you wonder how you'll continue. You wish there was just a way to divorce yourself, to separate yourself from that pain. And you just wish you could keep it quiet. Some of you are suffering today. You're sorrowful today, but you want to keep it private. You want to keep it small. Joseph had two options. Joseph had the option of doing what was really a public divorce. Now, everyone thought that Mary had committed adultery as they began to find out. But evidently at this point that we come in the story, it's still a very small group that knows that. And so Joseph wonders whether he should divorce her publicly, which actually could have led to her being stoned. At a minimum, it would have marked her for life. Or if he wanted to do it privately, in which case 3 or 4 people would know. Mary would probably move to another part of the country, maybe with relatives, Elizabeth or others, and they would simply drift away. And some of you are suffering today, and you don't want anyone to know. Whether or not it's for you or for someone else because you don't want to hurt someone else any more than they've hurt you, or for whatever reason, you simply suffer and you want to suffer simply as privately as you possibly can, and that's why you've never told anyone. And yet you come to a time like this and you feel sorrow and you feel pain. And you wonder how God could possibly bring joy out of this pain. continue with our story. We pick up in verse 20 that says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All of this took place to reveal, to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And what we actually have in this particular dream is the earliest gender reveal party that we know of. I mean, you know, in this day and time, whenever someone was pregnant, how did you find out the gender of the child? When the child was born. That's how you knew. And yet today, you know, you look online, and if you type in, by the way, to YouTube, gender reveal party, it'll keep you busy for hours. Yes, that might be personal experience, but I'm just saying. And there is every way imaginable to reveal the gender of the child, which they have found out through the doctors. But Joseph finds out the gender and the name, the intended name of the child, because an angel came and shared it with him. What an amazing event. And this event, this time, this opportunity that Joseph has in terms that God reveals to him through a dream, this is something that takes this sorrow, this pain, everything that Joseph is experiencing, and turns it into joy. But there's three keys to this that I think also apply to us. We may never have an angel come to us, and the key to turning our sorrow to joy is not the visit of the angel, but it is in the message of the angel. The first thing the angel tells him, just like they shared with the shepherds. Do you remember the first thing that the angel says whenever he encounters the shepherds? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And the angel's message now to Joseph is, do not be afraid. How often are we controlled by our fear? Our fear completely controls us. And let me tell you something, it is impossible to be fearful and joyful at the same time. Let me repeat that, because it's good and it's true. It is impossible to be fearful and joyful at the same time, because both consume us. Both of those things consume us. And both fear and joy are a filter through which we see both our past and our future. Joseph was afraid. Joseph was afraid when he went to sleep this night. I'm sure it was a fitful sleep, because he was afraid. He knew what was coming. He knew what he was going to have to tell Mary. He knew what people were going to say about him. He knew what people were going to say about Mary, and he was afraid. The reason that the angel says, do not be afraid, is because he was. And it consumed him. And it consumes us. And it is impossible for us to be both fearful and joyful at the same time. Now, we're not told about the struggles that Joseph and Mary went through after he took her to be his wife. That is, immediately after this visit, it says that immediately Joseph took her as his wife. That is, they completed the third stage. They finished the marriage. They were officially married. They took that final step, and yet they had no intimate relationship until after Jesus was born. But most likely, the angel is not just talking about the fear of the past. He's talking about the fear of what would happen if he took this step. And here's the truth. Some of us are afraid of what will happen if we take the step and follow Jesus completely. We're afraid. We're afraid of what will happen if we give our all, if we do what Jesus commands us to do, and with good reason. Now, I know, you're going, wait a second, this just went off the tracks. You're not supposed to tell us that. But here's the truth. Following Jesus with everything you are is dangerous. It's risky. It calls for great faith. And there is reason to be afraid, because it will inevitably lead you into places where people do not understand what you're doing, where they do not comprehend why you do what you do, where you make choices that do not make sense. If you follow Jesus with everything you are, it is a dangerous path, and it is a path where, from a human standpoint, we ought to be afraid. And that's exactly what the case was with Joseph. He was taking a woman as his wife who was 3 to 4 months pregnant. What do you think people said? What a fool. What an embarrassment to his family. What does he think he's doing? Mary will just do it again. He might have lost his business. He might have suffered. And so the first thing the angel says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid in the middle of a dangerous path. And if you follow Jesus, it is risky, it is dangerous, and it will call you to do things that are not in the normal pattern of life. But do not be afraid. Because, my friend Philip says, God's got this. And the second thing is, allow God to restore what was lost. Allow God to restore what was lost. Now, all of us have lost something. You may be here this morning, and the pain that you feel, the sorrow that you feel, is because of an incredible loss. Well, I want you to know that Joseph, this story is written for you. This story is written for you. It was impossible. What it was that God was asking Joseph to do was impossible. There is no possible way that a virgin can get pregnant. Yeah, right. It was from God. How many of you have used that excuse? How many of you know someone who's used that excuse? I only know of one, because it's impossible. It's impossible. And Mary's the only one who said this, because it is not possible. And God was asking Joseph to embrace the impossible. Now, I'll tell you something. There is no greater joy than watching God do the impossible. God still does the impossible. Today, God does the impossible. And as you embrace the impossible, the things that God calls us to do, to be a part of, to step out in faith, God does the impossible, and watching God do the impossible is the greatest joy we can ever have. But it was also, it's not just impossible, it was unreasonable. It required a step of faith that was unreasonable. Why in the world would Joseph trust Mary? Why? Why should she be the one to be the earthly mother to the Messiah? And why should he be the earthly father? It was unreasonable. Want to experience joy in your life? Be willing to take a step of faith. If we are only defined by what is reasonable, you will never experience joy like God wants you to experience joy. Are our lives, are the paths of our lives, the choices that we make, are they defined by what's reasonable? We do what's reasonable. We do what's good. We do what's okay. We, you know, we're logical. We do things well. If those are that's the framework within which we work, and we refuse to step outside of that, we will not experience what it is that God desires to do. Sometimes you have to be unreasonable. That is, you have to break with logic and be obedient. Do what God calls us to do. But you know what else? It was also unrighteous. Now, you're like, what? But it was unrighteous. It took a great deal of faith to take Mary as his wife, because by all evidence, she was an adulteress. And his righteousness as a member of the Jewish community depended on him putting her away, that is, divorcing her. Otherwise, he looked like someone who was excusing her adultery. When we come and we look at this situation from the standpoint of what is reasonable, what is logical, what is possible, the only conclusion we can come to is that Mary is an adulteress, and the righteous thing to do is to divorce her. It was unrighteous. When we care more about how we look than being obedient to our Heavenly Father, we may be self-righteous, but we lose joy. This righteousness that we may show to others may look sparkling and good, but it has no joy. And if you look at your life and you say, well, I'm a righteous person, I do what's right, but yet you have no joy, it's because you may have substituted doing righteous things for being obedient to your God. And you simply do the right things with no heart for Him. Did you notice that I said, allow God to restore what was lost? Some of you may have caught that and wondered, well, how do we allow God to do anything? But here's the truth. Joseph he received that which he had lost. He received it back only because he was obedient to God. In taking the step of obedience, of taking Mary, he received her back. He received back everything he saw himself losing. I wonder what we lose because of our lack of obedience. You know, one of my favorite Christmas songs is a song by the group King and Country titled, I Choose Joy. Look it up on YouTube. It is an awesome song. But that phrase, I choose joy, we allow God to restore what we've lost by being obedient to Him, even in the face of it being impossible, of it being unreasonable, of it not looking righteous. We choose joy. And then finally, watch God's plan unfold. Do you want joy in your life? There is no joy like being used by God. There is no joy like that. If you have ever experienced God working through you and using you, you know there is no joy like that kind of joy. Now, I want you to, let me read verses 24 and 25 again. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. and he gave him the name Jesus. Can you imagine the joy of naming the Messiah? The joy of having that role, of being the one to say, he is the Redeemer. He is Jesus. He's the one who will save us from our sins. What an incredible opportunity God gave Joseph as he was obedient to him. As we watch God's plan unfold. And I want to end by challenging you with this. What is it that God desires to do through you? What plan is it that he has unfolding? And you play a key part. But only if you're obedient. Only if you're obedient. Only if we take those steps of faith, even only as we fear not, as we're not afraid, and take steps that are dangerous, risky steps, but steps of obedience. And then we watch God's plan unfold before us. What plan would God like to include you in as it's unfolding? Would you pray with me, please? Father, as we come to this moment and recognizing, Lord, so many of us come with such pain and sorrow to this time of year. There are struggles that we have. And Father, you tell us not to be afraid. Father, help us to trust you enough that we would step forward in faith, that we would step forward in joy, because we know you have a plan. And it may not make sense, may not be the most logical thing we can think of, or we fear it. It seems impossible. Father, help us to reject that fear and enjoy, embrace what it is that you desire for us. Thank you, Father, that you want to use us in your plan, and you want to give us an inexpressible joy. Pray this in your holy name. Amen. We come to this time of commitment. Choose joy. Choose joy. And if you choose joy and you'd like for someone to just pray with you and say, I need to not be afraid. I need to take the steps of faith that God is calling me to. I'd love to pray with you. I'll be here at the front. You can just slip forward to the front. We'll pray together. You move back to your seat. Someone around you very likely would be glad to pray with you. But as we come to this moment, let's choose joy. Would you stand with me, please?